The Hour of the Time may be contacted at HOT, that's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.
Welcome back to the Hour of the Time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm William Cooper, the man that President Clinton called in a White House memo the most dangerous radio host in America. Not because I want to or would hurt anyone, because I don't. Not because I run around carrying a rifle and sticking it up people's noses, because I don't. It's because I wield the sword of truth. Everything that spews from their lips and out of their temples without windows and from their mystery religions and from the halls of government which they have infiltrated and now control is nothing but lie after lie after lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. Lies, lies and more lies, that's what we're subjected to on a constant basis from television, from movies, from the news, the communist news networks, Allied Broadcasting Communists, National Broadcasting Communists, Communist News Network, Communist Broadcasting System, all the rest of them, White House press conferences, liars. And you should all have realized that by now. You see, one basic truth can be used as a foundation for a mountain of lies. And if we dig down deep enough in the mountain of lies and bring out that truth, to set it on top of the mountain of lies, the entire mountain of lies will crumble under the weight of that one truth, and there is nothing more devastating to a structure of lies than the revelation of the truth upon which the structure of lies was built. Because the shockwaves of the revelation of the truth reverberate and continue to reverberate throughout the earth for generations to follow, awakening even those people who had no desire to be awakened to the truth. Delamere Duverts said that, and I put it prominently in the front of my book, Behold a Pale Horse, which if you haven't read, you need to read. And I'll tell you how to get that another day. You are in danger, ladies and gentlemen, great danger. Great danger. And I have several more pages, many more pages, in fact, of quotes from court rulings that prove to you that they're going to take your guns. That all that you believe about your freedoms are threatened, challenged, endangered now. You see, they can't have a one-world totalitarian socialist government if Americans remain armed. If Americans keep their rights to keep and bear arms, if we do not ever let our weapons go, they're finished. It's all over. They can't do it. Because there isn't an army on the face of this earth that can come to this continent, including the armies that are already on this continent, and oppose 240 million pissed off armed Americans. Cannot be done. You see, those backward, uneducated tribesmen in Afghanistan defeated the entire military might of the Soviet Union. Men running around using World War II and pre-World War II rifles with CB radios for communication kicked the United States out of Somalia, beat our butts. And I could go on and on and on. I could give you example after example where a small handful of men with ancient weapons have defeated the most modern armies on the face of this earth simply because they believed in what they were doing and were willing to die for that belief. No mercenary can ever defeat a people who are willing to die in defense of certain ideals and principles. It can't be done. For as soon as the mercenary observes casualties being inflicted, there isn't a paycheck big enough to make him stay. But people who believe in what they are doing and the principles and ideals for which they are fighting and are ready and willing to die, if required, for those principles and ideals cannot be defeated ever. For you can never stomp out a whole people. It cannot be done. Now you're going to have to sit down and determine what it is that you believe in. And are you willing to die for those principles and ideals if you are called upon to do so? And if you are not, the next time somebody calls upon your children to send them off to some godforsaken spot on this earth to fight some battle, don't you dare pat them on the ass and send them off if you don't have the guts to stand and die here for the principles and ideals upon which this country was built. And don't use the excuse that they're fighting in defense of freedom or the Constitution and that they're patriots, because that is absolute bullshit and you all know it. If you're not willing to stand up here in defense of the principles and ideals upon which this country was founded and fight and die here for the Constitution and for the freedom of the American people and your children and your grandchildren, then don't you be sending somebody off to fight and die somewhere else for something that has nothing to do with any of those things. Don't you even consider it. And if you do, don't talk to me about patriotism or fighting for the Constitution or for your country, because it's a lie. It's a lie upon the face of it. And you then become a liar. And you know it. I was in Henry's barbershop not too long ago. And I was talking to Henry about what's going on in the world. About what was happening to a group of men up in Montana called the Freemen. And a man came in and sat down and he said, they ought to go in there and kill them all. I said, why do you say that? They're anti-American. I don't think so. The common law is American. Our whole legal system is based upon the common law. The common law is protected in the Constitution. I read that to you yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. Protected in the Constitution. One of the freemen has already been acquitted. I asked him what his definition of American was, and he sputtered and spluttered, and he couldn't tell me. You know what he told me? You know how he justified his comment? He said, I fought for my country. I know what I'm talking about. I said, when did you fight for your country? He said, Korean War. I'm a Korean War veteran. I said, I know that you thought you fought for your country, and your intentions and your desire to fight for your country is admirable, and I admire you for that. But you were not fighting for your country, you were fighting for the United Nations. Had nothing to do with your country. No matter what happened in Korea, no matter who won or lost, had nothing to do with the United States of America, period. And the fact that you may have fought for your country in Korea, or at least you thought you were fighting for your country in Korea, has nothing to do with whether or not you know what being an American is. Then he said, well, you never fought for your country. I said, you're right, but I thought I was. I believed at the time that I was, but you're wrong in saying that I never fought. Makes you a bigot. You're making assumptions about me that you don't know anything about. I was a patrol boat captain on a river in Vietnam. And I fought nightly, believing that I was fighting for my country and for freedom and for the Constitution. Later I found out it was all crap baloney. I wasn't fighting for any of those things. And the way it was set up, we were supposed to win from the beginning for the Viet Cong. You see, we weren't supposed to win at all. And all the rules and regulations that we had to play by guaranteed it. It was a foregone conclusion that South Vietnam was going to fall to the communists. In the meantime, a lot of other people were going to make a lot of money in the process. I said, where did you fight in Korea? And he spluttered and blustered, and come to find out, he never fought at all, wasn't in Korea. He was just in the military during that time period. And he got so angry, his face turned beet red, and I thought he was going to explode right there. In fact, I was a little bit worried that in his embarrassment, he might jump up and want to come to fisticuffs, for which I was prepared to do if it was necessary, but I was hoping that it wouldn't come to that. And after my haircut was finished, I got out of the chair and I walked over to him and I said, I'm really sorry if I made you angry. I didn't intend to. I was talking to Henry about the Freeman in Montana, and we were having a conversation which you interrupted. And I apologize if I have offended you in any way. Well, he wouldn't accept that. And he was still angry and still blustering when I left the barbershop. But that's just an example of the kind of mentality that permeates America. I'm a veteran, ladies and gentlemen, a Vietnam veteran. I really did fight. I have two medals. It doesn't make any difference what they are, with the V for Valor. I was called a hero. But those of us who fought know that there is no such thing. You do what you have to do to survive and cause the survival of those that you are with. And sometimes you're so scared and so pumped up with adrenaline that you don't even know what it is that you're doing. And that's the truth of the matter. In almost every city in this country, there are VFW halls and Foreign Legion halls. And I thought at one time that I could go in there and find people of like mind. And I went to a few meetings and went a couple of times during the day to have a beer and talk with the guys. And you know what I discovered, ladies and gentlemen? Let me tell you what I discovered about the VFW and the American Legion halls. It's not a place where people are interested in this information, are interested in stopping what's happening to this country. It's a place where grown men sit around, get drunk, and tell lies to each other. About how great they were in defending their country. And so I quit going, because it's not anything that I want to have anything to do with. That could change. If you're a member of one of those halls, you could cause that to change today, or tomorrow, or next week. And that's a fact. But you must get interested and you must begin to do something now, or you are lost. You must have a militia. You must have a militia. You must belong to a militia. And that militia has to be full of men with a purpose who believe wholeheartedly in the principles and ideals upon which this country was founded, and they must be brave men who are willing to die for those principles and ideals should that opportunity present itself. Cowards need not apply. For I'm going to tell you, within a few short years, Americans are going to be called upon to fight for their freedoms or put the chains upon their own ankles and march into enslavement. My whole purpose in writing my book, in publishing my newspaper, Veritas, in creating this broadcast, The Hour of the Time, and the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, was to awaken enough concerned Americans that through a political consensus of opinion, we could reverse this trend peacefully and restore constitutional Republican government. And at one time I had a great, tremendous faith in the American people that once they found out what was going on and began to check the documentation and prove to themselves that it was true, that we would be able to do that. Now I'm not so optimistic. In fact, I'm not optimistic in that vein whatsoever when I saw how easy it was for people on the side of the enemy like Ross Perot to divide the vote, to call huge number of voters into a cul-de-sac and keep them spinning around chasing their tail. After I have watched Americans accept computer voting, where once they put their vote into that computer, it turns into an electron, can't be counted, and nobody has any idea where it went. While I watched many states do away with the written ballot and the written ballot backup. Now, in many areas, you vote by touching a computer screen and no paper trail exists whatsoever. You touch that screen, your vote turns into an electron and disappears forever, and nobody can ever check to see if your vote was registered where you thought it was going. I also learned that most people don't want to hear the truth, don't want to go and research it, don't want to find out if it's true, and certainly don't want to do anything about it because they are afraid. I have discovered that most people are cowards. And they believe that if they don't look at it, if they don't acknowledge it, it will just go away. It can't happen to me. It can't happen in America. This is America, boy. What are you talking about? Can't happen here. It's already happened here. It's been happening for many years. In fact, it's almost a done deal. This is from the Yearbook of the United Nations, 1978, Volume 32, Department of Public Information, United Nations, New York, on page 46, under Political and Security Questions, paragraph 109. Quote, implementation of these priorities should lead to general and complete disarmament under effective international control, which remains the ultimate goal of all efforts exerted in the field of disarmament. Now, folks, when they're talking about international control, they're not talking about you being disarmed under the control of our people here in this country. They're talking about international control of the disarmament of the American people and our armed forces. Total and complete disarmament. Quote, negotiations on general and complete disarmament shall be conducted concurrently with negotiations on partial measures of disarmament. With this purpose in mind, the Committee on Disarmament will undertake to the elaboration of a comprehensive program of disarmament encompassing all measures thought to be advisable in order to ensure that the goal of general and complete disarmament under effective international control becomes a reality in a world in which international peace and security prevail and in which the new international economic order is strengthened and consolidated. Now, if you take a legal dictionary and look up the definition of economic order, it will tell you it is government. Quote, the comprehensive program should contain appropriate procedures for ensuring that the General Assembly is kept fully informed of the progress of the negotiations, including an appraisal of the situation, when appropriate, and in particular, a continuing review of the implementation of the program. Paragraph 110, quote, progress in disarmament should be accompanied by measures to strengthen institutions for maintaining peace and the settlement of international disputes by peaceful means. During and after the implementation of the program of general and complete disarmament, there should be taken, in accordance with the principles of the Charter of the United Nations, the necessary measures to maintain international peace and security, including the obligation of states to place at the disposal of the United Nations agreed manpower necessary for an international peacekeeping force to be equipped with agreed types of armaments. Arrangements for the use of this force should ensure that the United Nations can effectively deter or suppress any threat or use of arms in violation of the purposes and principles of the United Nations. End quote. Paragraph 111, quote, general and complete disarmament under strict and effective international control shall permit states to have at their disposal only those non-nuclear forces, armaments, facilities, and establishments as are agreed to be necessary to maintain internal order and protect the personal security of citizens and in order that states shall support and provide agreed manpower for a United Nations peace force, end quote. Under paragraph 115, quote, the General Assembly has been and should remain the main deliberative organ of the United Nations in the field of disarmament and should make every effort to facilitate the implementation of disarmament measures. An item entitled Review of the Implementation of the Recommendations and Decisions Adopted by the General Assembly at its 10th Special Session shall be included in the provisional agenda of the 33rd and subsequent sessions of the General Assembly. End quote. Paragraph 120, and I quote, the General Assembly is conscious of the work that has been done by the International Negotiating Body that has been meeting since 14 March 1962, as well as the considerable and urgent work that remains to be accomplished in the field of disarmament, end quote, and on, and on, and on, and on. Paragraph 126, quote, in adopting this final document, the states members of the United Nations solemnly reaffirm their determination to work for general and complete disarmament and to make further collective efforts aimed at strengthening peace and international security, eliminating the threat of war, particularly nuclear war, implementing practical measures aimed at halting and reversing the arms race, strengthening the procedures for the peaceful settlement of disputes, and reducing military expenditures and utilizing the resources thus released in a manner which will help to promote the well-being of all peoples and to improve the economic conditions of the developing countries, end quote, and on and on. It talks about the new phase in disarmament. And here we have on page 113, quote, Liberia submitted to the first committee in 1978 a draft resolution on the need for a new philosophy on disarmament to be formulated from the new ideas, theories, proposals, and strategies set forth at the General Assembly's 10th special and current sessions. Liberia envisioned the new philosophy as an organized departure from outmoded premises into a system for mobilizing world public opinion, end quote, which simply translated means you are receiving a barrage of propaganda to get you to consent to be disarmed as a part of the overall plan of world disarmament. In other words, propaganda. Quote, which could make possible a popular grasp of the nature of the disarmament problem and United Nations goals on disarmament. Introducing the text, Liberia suggested that all the new ideas and concepts on disarmament should be fused into a single principle of an integrated philosophy, perhaps as a New World Disarmament Order, its format perhaps as a doctrine or as a philosophical declaration. Did you know that on the grounds of the United Nations in New York City, there is a huge, huge statue of a pistol with the barrel tied in a knot? And it goes on, quote, final document of the 10th special session be formulated into a single comprehensive and coordinated system, into a new philosophy on disarmament, and a message that could effectively reach the minds of men in a mobilization of world public opinion in support of the United Nations goal for halting the arms race and eventually for complete and general disarmament centered on a new order of national and international security. On page 121. On June 30, 1978, at the 10th Special Session, the General Assembly decided to establish a disarmament commission composed of all member states of the United Nations. The commission was asked to report on organizational matters to the Assembly's regular 1978 session. End quote. What's wrong with this, folks? You say I'm against peace in the world? Not on your life. You say I'm against world government? No, not if it's done properly. Under a constitution that recognizes individual rights and secures those rights for the people? And if it's a constitutional Republican government, I would be in favor of it, would support it, would promote it, even. Am I for war? Not on your life. No, I hate and despise war. I fought in a war. I know what war is. War is not glamorous. There are no heroes. There is nothing good that I can say about war at all. Period. I am against the American citizen being disarmed because I have studied the history of the world, and all people who have ever been disarmed in the history of the world have been shortly thereafter enslaved. It is the truth. Mao Zedong, a very well-known communist revolutionary leader, a man who is an expert in guerrilla warfare and in controlling huge masses of people, said, quote, all power emanates from the barrel of a gun, end quote, and he was telling us the truth. I don't like his philosophy. I don't like him. I respect him. I admire what he accomplished, even though I do not admire what it did to people. But he told us the truth. And he was an expert. He knows what he's talking about. A people who do not have the means to defend themselves with the same weapons that anyone coming against them might use against them are slaves. A people without weapons are a people without power of any kind. You talk about political power? Baloney. Since when in the world has any people who have been disarmed had any political power? They are at the mercy of those who control the guns. That is the truth. That is the way it's always been. Didn't they promise the citizens of the Soviet Union a democracy? Didn't they tell them they had the right to vote? Doesn't the Soviet Constitution give them the right to keep and bear arms? Yet they never did. And when they voted, there was only one party and one candidate in each election. And yes, they had the right to vote. In fact, they had to vote, and they had to vote for that one candidate, or they got shot. Same thing in communist China. You better get the message, folks, to stop listening to this bleeding, heart-blathering, feel-good nonsense that these stupid people are feeding you on a daily basis. You're eating pablum. You're eating pablum for lunch, and you don't even know it. You're eating it for breakfast, and you're eating it for supper, and you're eating it all the time in between, and you don't even understand that it's pablum. Dangerous pablum. Pablum that will choke you, that will poison you, that will kill you. Have you been kissed by a rose?
Come along, my father is all I know. God can't, though there was a real gent, he would not be caught sitting around the known jungle scheme. Dumb as an angel and another. Superman never made anybody. Sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. Hey, Bob, Susan had a strange job. Even though it could have smashed any bank in the United States, he had the strength, but he wouldn't. Himself to carry on, get ripped on him to go. Superman never made any money, seeing the world from Solomon Grundy. Sometimes I despair the world will never see another man.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to. We've been deceived. We've been manipulated. We've been scammed. Our nation has been stolen right out from under us. There are no protections for individual rights in the United Nations Charter or in any of the resolutions passed by the United Nations since its inception. If you take the United Nations Charter, ladies and gentlemen, if you take it and put it side by side with the old Soviet Constitution, the Constitution for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, they are the same, almost word for word. The man most responsible for writing the United Nations Charter, ladies and gentlemen, was found to be a communist spy, Alger Hiss, and others In fact, most of the people in the United Nations are on the, I should say, the United States delegation that was sent to San Francisco to organize and form the United Nations and write its charter, later turned out to be communist spies. Alger Hiss was one of them. He was tried, convicted, and placed where he belongs, in jail. Now that the socialists are in charge in Washington, D.C., you see all these articles in Newsweek and other places trying to say that he should be released from jail because he really wasn't a communist after all. Well, you will study the evidence and study the trial transcript, and you'll find out that there's no doubt whatsoever. But you see, he's a hero to these people. In the supreme law of the land, ladies and gentlemen, the United States Code annotated, Constitution of the United States annotated, Articles 2 through 7, annotations from federal and state courts. And listen carefully to what I'm telling you. For all of you who have not believed what I've been putting out as the message to this nation and to the world, you'd better listen. And I am a messenger. Once again, the United States Code annotated, Constitution of the United States annotated, Articles 2 through 7, annotations from federal and state courts. On page 576, paragraph 112, quote, United Nations Charter, a treaty ratified by the United States, is part of the supreme law of this land, end quote. Now let me tell you that again, just in case you missed it. United States Code annotated, Constitution of the United States annotated, Articles 2 through 7, annotations from federal and state courts. On page 576, paragraph 112, quote, United Nations Charter, a treaty ratified by the United States, is part of the supreme law of this land, end quote. U.S. versus Steinberg, D.C., Illinois, 1976, 478 F. Sup. 29. See also Balfour, Guthrie & Company, Limited versus U.S., D.C., Cal., 1950, 90 F. Sup. 831. Quote, provision of United Nations Charter that the United Nations should promote universal respect for observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms for all without distinction as to race, sex, language, or religion was not self-executing and therefore was not part of the supreme law of the United States, end quote. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're saying that the United Nations Charter and any resolution or anything that the United Nations pass is part of the supreme law of the United States of America. Supreme law of this land. This last paragraph I just read is talking about a specific charter that was passed, or I should say convention, that was passed by the United Nations on the observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms for all without distinction as to race, sex, language, or religion, was not self-executing within the law and therefore was not part of the supreme law of the United States like the United Nations Charter and the other United Nations resolutions, which are self-executing. Do you understand this? I hope that you do. That was Camacho versus Rogers, D.C., New York, 1961, 199, F. Sup. 155. Quote, listen to this. The United Nations Charter is a treaty within the purview of this clause, making treaties a part of the supreme law of the land and binding upon judges in every state, end quote. Fujii versus State, 1952, 242, P. 2nd, 617, 38, Cal. 2nd, 718. You can listen to all the other broadcasts or programs you want, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, I urge you to. Listen to everyone. Read everything, but believe nothing. You can read anything you want to, but you'd better come back every day at this same time and listen to the hour of the time, because that's the only way you're ever going to grow up. You get pablum from everyone else. You get lies. You get rumor. You get BS. You get disinformation. I have to spoon feed you because you can't get it any other way. And I document and source every single thing I ever tell you so that you can go look it up for yourself and know that I'm telling you the truth. But don't believe a word I tell you unless you do look it up. Don't even believe your mother. This is the age of deception. And remember, who is the great deceiver? If you don't know, look it up and find out. Page 583, paragraph 144 says, quote, police power enactments Police power of state, especially when exerted for protection of life and limb, is as pervasive as any of reserved powers of states and should be respected unless there is a clear collision with national law which has right of way under this clause, end quote. Kessler versus Department of Public Safety, Financial Responsibility Division, State of Utah, Utah, 1962-82, S. Court, 807-369, U.S. Supreme Court, 153-7, L. Ed., 2nd, 641. Quote, in the application of this principle of supremacy of an act of Congress, in a case where the state law is but the exercise of a reserved power, the repugnance or conflict should be direct and positive, so that the two acts could not be reconciled or consistently stand together, and also that the act of Congress should have been passed in the exercise of a clear power under the Constitution such as that in question. Synod v. Davenport, Alabama, 1859-63, United States Supreme Court, 227-22, Howe, spelled H-O-W-E, 227-16, L. Ed., 243. Quote, treaty conflicts generally. 154, paragraph 154 on page 589, quote, treaty conflicts generally. State law must yield when it is inconsistent with or impairs the policy of provisions of a treaty or of an international compact or agreement, end quote. Do you understand what I'm telling you? The New World Order is a done deal. They just haven't told you yet, and they can't tell you until they take your guns away, and then it will be too late. You see, the Charter of the United Nations is really the supreme law of the land. That's what this is all telling you. And treaties, NAFTA, and GATT. Do you know that GATT establishes a World Trade Organization that can dictate law to the United States of America? Did you know that? Well, it's true. U.S. versus Pink, New York, 1942-62, S. Court, 552-315, U.S. Supreme Court, 203-86, L. Ed., 796. See also, Henri Ostrowski's Estate, 1936-290, New York State, 174-160, MISC, period, 482, State versus Arthur, 1953, 261, P. 2nd, 135, 74, Idaho, 251. Quote, the treaty-making power has been surrendered by the states and given to the United States, and treaties are as binding within the territorial limits of the states as they are elsewhere throughout the domain of the United States. End quote. Baldwin versus Franks, Cal, 1887, 7, S. Court, 656. 763, 120, United States Supreme Court, 682, 30, L. Ed., 766. See also, Nielsen v. Johnson, Iowa, 1929, 49, S. Court, 223, 279, U.S. Supreme Court, 47, 73, L. Ed., 607. Murano v. Baltimore, etc., etc., etc. And there's two more paragraphs of citations, which I'm not going to read. You can look it up. Quote, it is the declared will of the people of the United States that every treaty made by the authority of the United States shall be superior to the Constitution and laws of any individual state, end quote. Ware versus Hylton, Virginia, 1796, 3, U.S. Supreme Court, 199, 3, Dahl, 199, 1, L. Ed., 568. See also, in Re. Wyman, 1906, 77, N. E., 379, 191, Massachusetts, 276, 114, M-A-M-S-T-R-E-P, 601. Quote, state statutory provisions yields to any applicable provision of any valid treaty of the United States with foreign country, since treaties constitute part of supreme law of the land, end quote. De Tenorio versus McGowan, C.A., Mississippi, 1975, 510, F. 2nd, 92, rehearing denied, 513, F. 2nd, 294, certiorari denied, 96, S. Court, 150, 423, U.S. Supreme Court, 877, 46, L. Ed., 2nd, 110, quote, A treaty must be regarded as a part of the law of an individual state as much as are the state's own statutes, and it may override the power of state, even in respect of the great body of private relations which usually fall within control of the state, end quote. Amaya versus Staniland Oil and Gas Company, CCA, Texas, 1947, 158, F. 2nd, 554, certiorari denied, 67, S. Court, 1191, 331, United States Supreme Court, 808, 91, L. Ed., 1828, rehearing denied, 67, S. Court, 1530, 331, United States Supreme Court, 867, 91, L. Ed., 1871, quote, a treaty is supreme law of the land, and even state law must yield when it is inconsistent with or impairs policy or provisions of a treaty, end quote. The United Nations Charter, ladies and gentlemen, is a treaty. Do you understand what's happening? Now do you know why you feel that something is really wrong in your gut, but you don't know what it is? The world government already exists. They're just moving you into it slowly. Once they take your guns away, they're going to slam you into it. Throw you down on the ground and slap the chains around your ankles from which you will never escape. For a disarmed people is an enslaved people. Second article and amendments had nothing to do with the right to hunt. It was to protect us against tyranny. People who own firearms and belong to militias, ladies and gentlemen, are not extremists. They're not anti-government. They're not terrorists, domestic or otherwise. They are what they have always been, American patriots dedicated to the principles and ideals upon which this nation was founded, and they are ready and willing, as they have always been throughout the history of this nation, to give their life in defense of the freedom of the American people and of the preservation of the Constitutional Republic. Anyone who proposes to take the guns away from the American people, or to register guns, or to in any way control the people's right to keep and bear arms, are not only extremists, they are traitors. They are the terrorists. They are the extremists. They are the liars. And I have proven it to you, not with words, not with fluffy, good-feeling crap that you hear from them all the time, but with documentation and facts. With the law. With the truth. With the real history. When are you going to wake up? Have you been kissed by a rose? If so, you better pull your mouth away and slap that rose, because it is the kiss of death. To be kissed by the rose is the kiss of death. To buy into the lies and the manipulation and the deceptions of socialism is the kiss of death. Is the kiss of death what you want? Are you a communist, Marxist, socialist, or are you an American? You'd better make that decision pretty soon. If you're an American, welcome. I'll fight and die beside you anytime it's required to protect the freedom of all of us. If you decide you're a socialist, we will ultimately meet upon a battlefield, and I'm going to have to kill you. And that's the truth. And I will not hesitate, because I know you will kill me if I do. And that also is the truth. I will do everything in my power, as I have done for years, to prevent bloodshed from ever happening. And if we could awake enough Americans to realize a consensus of political power before we lose our right to keep and bear arms, we can do it. If we can't do it, there will be civil war in this country, because there are just too many Americans like me. We will not be slaves. in the New World Totalitarian Socialist Communist Order. We will not. It's as simple as that. And I will never shut up. Someday they're going to have to come here and try to kill me to shut me up because they won't do it any other way. And I will stand here and protect my rights with everything in my power, including the force of arms. There will be no negotiations. There will be no surrender on my part. You see, I'm a realist. No fantasy here. You see what I've been telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we don't exist as a country anymore, at least not the country that we thought we were, and in fact not a country at all. We are quickly becoming a part of a region of the New World Order, which will consist of Canada, the United States, and Mexico. And the standard of living will be leveled to the lowest common denominator of the three. You see, in all socialist systems, there cannot be a middle class. That's forbidden. For a middle class never consents to be ruled by socialists or communists. Anywhere that our Constitution or our laws conflict with the United Nations Charter or any of the treaties under the United Nations Treaty and the United Nations Participation Act, the United Nations will prevail. We are a vassal state of a world government and have been since 1945. Quote, states cannot attempt to exercise jurisdiction if to do so would violate an international treaty, end quote. Chicago Company Limited versus Superior Court for City and County of San Francisco, 1973, 109 Cal, REPTR, period, 402-33, CA, 3rd. 808, quote, a duly executed treaty is the supreme law of the land, and state and local laws must yield to its provisions. Republic of Finland versus Town of Pelham, 1966, 270, New York, S. 2nd, 661, 26, AD, 2nd, 35, quote, states are bound by this clause to respect the terms of treaties entered into by Congress, end quote. State versus Miller, 1984, 689, P, 2nd, 81, 102, Washington, 2nd, 678, quote, state laws must yield to valid treaties where there is a conflict between them, and even laws governing essentially local matters must bow when treaty provisions override them, end quote. Wires versus Arnold, 1941, 147, SW, 2nd, 644, 347, Missouri, 413, certiorari denied, 61, S, Court, 1112, 313, U.S. Supreme Court, 589, 85, L, Ed, 1544. Wake up, America. You've been had. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. God bless each and every single one of you. And may God find it in his bottomless bucket of mercy to save this republic. think this socialist is talking about, ladies and gentlemen? How many times do you listen to the lyrics of the music and not even understand what they're telling you? How many of you listen to John Lennon's song, Imagine, and think that it's just wonderful? I encourage you to get it out wherever you have it stashed and listen to it again with your brain this time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. And that comes directly from the White House. And you're listening to the Hour of the Time. The Voice of Freedom. Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 9955 kilohertz, Monday through Friday nights from 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The Hour of the Time may be contacted at HOTT, that's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.